There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
Shalom Avracha, this is 101.9 Chai FM, soul to soul, on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vo'eschanan, Shabbos Nachamu, Baruch Hashem. We got through Tisha B'Av, I hope, for all of you. It was a easy fast, but a very, very meaningful day. I hope we all emerged from Tisha B'Av inspired to try a bit harder, to put a little bit more effort. Of course, we're all a little bit disappointed that this Tisha B'Av Mashiach didn't come, but who knows if because of our tefillos and because of our tears and because of our commitments, maybe a Mashiach was born this year, and in just a short time, he will make himself known to us. That's beyond our understanding at this point. So as always, the show today is brought to you as a refuah shalema for Menachem Mendel ben Nechama Dina, Eli ben Nechama Lina, Yehuda Hillel HaLevi ben Shulamis Leah, Shimon Leib ben Ahuva Batsheva, Sara Bas Penina, Shlomit Bas Levora, Akava Bas Liba Mina, and Binyamina Bas Yenta, Beseich Shor Chole Yisrael. May the schus of the Torah we learn, the chizuk we get, be an inspiration and an impetus for a refuah shleima b'korev mamish for these cholim, for all the cholim in Klal Yisrael, be they here, be they in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere in the world, Bez Hashem, the Ashpa of Torah spreads and spreads and spreads and can affect positively anyone and everyone throughout the entire world. So in this week's parasha, we have the repetition of the Aseres Dibros. And let's talk for a second about Kabed es Savicha ve'simecha, honor your father and mother. And the Kumetzer Rebbe Shlita relates that his father, who was Ephraim, who was the son of the saintly Harav Yecheskel Mikuzmir, decided to travel alone in complete anonymity. He refused to reveal his illustrious pedigree as the Kuzmir's son. Right? He entered the shul in a small town and promptly sat down in the rear of the shul together with a few simple men whose relationship with anything spiritual was kind of foreign. While they might have been, Baruch Hashem, spiritually challenged, they all at least made it their business to attend shul. No hints given. The Rebbe felt spiritually uplifted, sitting where he was, not garnering any attention to himself, which, due to his very, very humble nature, was something for which he actually pined. The problem arose when the shul's gaba approached him. And you noticed that a guest wanted to give him an aliyah, to call him up to the Torah. He gave his name, Rabbi Ephraim ben Rabbi Cheskel, which is a kind of a nondescript name without any kind of appellations that accompany a man of his stature, right? The son of one of the prominent admirim of his day. It was then that it struck him that he had degraded his father. If he wanted to humble himself, it was fine. But what right did he have to do the same to his father? He later said that he was filled with remorse for the rest of his life because he had not rendered the proper deference to his own father. Honoring parents often involves recognizing that our actions can indeed impact their reputation. Thus, it's imperative that we conduct ourselves in such a manner that it reflects positively on them, whether they're alive or no longer alive, in the manner in which we have been raised. Public behavior, whereby son, daughter, whoever it is, acts out in a disrespectful or irresponsible kind of manner, may mean nothing to the son and daughter. But what did his or her parents do to suffer such humiliation? The way we act in our daily endeavors, professionally, ethically, and morally, impacts our parents' reputation. We must remember that acknowledging the potential impact, both positive and chas v'shalom negative, on our parents' reputation is part of the mitzvah of honoring them. Our self-centered behavior hurts not only us, but also our parents and our children. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Voeschanan, Shabbos Nachmu. As we start to pick ourselves up off the floor and recover from Tisha B'Av, although, do you really want to recover? Surely, what we did on Tisha B'Av, our pining, our yearning for Mashiach, is not something that is just a once-off. You know, I will say, like, yeah, we have all these world days, world day of this, world day of that. And that, of course, is the point to raise awareness of all these things, right? But it's important every day, even Father's Day and Mother's Day. What's that about? It's just raising awareness in our mind about how important parents are. But of course, dealing with parents, honoring parents, looking after parents is something that applies 365, 24. It's like all the time. So we have special days that focus our attention. But really, the obligation to be involved is in doing what we can to bring the Mashiach is something that applies and is relevant in our lives at every single moment. In the Haftarah that we read last Shabbos, at the very end, we were given the hint as to what it is that perhaps single-handedly can bring about the Mashiach. The very last pasuk, you know, the whole Haftarah of last week was read in the tune of Eicha. It's a sad Haftarah. It's a Haftarah where the Navi talks very harshly about our lack of any kind of devotion, of any kind of heart, of any kind of real involvement. Yes, we went through the motions. We were doing the stuff. But our hearts were far away. And the Haftarah then changes at the end, changes his beat, and says, "Hoyinochem, I'm going to comfort you." And the very last pasuk is, "Tzion b'mishpat tipodeh, Tzion, through judgment, will be redeemed, v'shaveha, and those who come back, you want the recipe to come back, v'tztaka, will be through acts of giving tzedakah. And of course, over at Tisha B'Av, we got very, very involved in talking about the churban itself, the destruction itself, and what it meant to us. But now it's time to really start talking strategies of how we can do our little bit to actually bring Mashiach about. And therefore, if the Navi is telling us that v'shaveh b'tzedakah, that tzedakah is one of the ways that's going to return us to Eretz Yisrael, So maybe it behooves us to a little bit talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah and its importance and its pivotal role in perhaps creating the scenario that can bring Mashiach. So we start with a ber heitiv in the laws of Tainus. And he says you need to know that any actions that a person has done or any Torah that a person has learnt while he's still in the state of what he calls being a Rasha, being someone who has no interest in devoting himself and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So unfortunately, in our lowly state, so he says, Moisiv Kayach, that person actually adds power and strength, Beklipos, to all the external forces that are trying to deter us from advancing and achieving the levels we need to achieve. Add until the point, Shechoyzer B'tshuva, and until the person actually changes and decides he's going to do tshuva, then Moitzia Maklipa, then he's able to rescue all the Torah he's learnt, all the mitzvahs he's done. When he does tshuva, he is able to free those hostage mitzvahs, free that hostage Torah, and bring it back onto his count of purity. Amazing, amazing statement. The source of this ber heitiv is brought much earlier in the Shaar Yehudim, where he brings and that every maaseh that a person does, all the good things that a person does, and even if he does them, chas v'shalom, as a rasha, or a the Torah that a person learns, so it goes without saying that it doesn't add kedusha, because in order for one's actions to work into the realm of kedusha, so he has to be a person that has an association with kedusha. When you yourself are on a level of at least connection, aspiration to kedusha, then what you do gets credited to that team, to that side of the equation. But if he continues to be Rasha, not only doesn't it add to the kedusha side, but on the contrary, it gives more strength, more power, more energy to the external forces that are our greatest enemies. And in fact, David HaMelech says, Ula Rasha Amar, to the Rasha, Hashem says, Ma lecha lesaper chukai, why do you even bother talking about my mitzvahs? Why? She'ata machnis dovashe b'kedusha b'toch haklipa. You're taking beautiful holy things. You're taking mitzvahs that are so full of kedusha. You're taking Torah, which every word of it is so powerful and so beautiful and can literally change worlds. And you're taking that and you're putting it b'toch haklipa. You're putting it in all those external places. And so therefore, not only are you actually doing the sins that you're doing, but you're compounding it by giving more and more energy and more power and more influence to the side of evil. And the pasuk says about such a person. And that God Lavoina, his sin is so great, it's almost too difficult for him to be able to carry. However, the moment a person puts on brakes and decides, now I don't like to go on this path is not serving me well, I want to stop, I want to do a U-turn, I want to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he resolves, therefore, that he's going to turn himself around and do tshuva, so then all that Kedusha that's been kidnapped and hijacked by the forces of Tumah, all have to relinquish all the captives that they have, and it's brought back into the Kedusha. And that also, there's a pasuk in pasuk in Iyov that says, Chayel Bola V'yokienu. Even though it swallowed up a whole army, of our good deeds, it can be forced to sort of regurgitate it and spit it up and give it all back to us. And that's why it's called Teshuvah. That Sheyoshuv, he's returning, he's doing Hashavas Aveda. He's returning something to its rightful owner, to its right place. And then he's adding incredible energy, incredible power to the Kedusha. Because now he's subduing all those forces of impurity and kind of freeing, emancipating the Kedusha from them and adding more power, more influence, and more energy into the side of Kedusha. And this, of course, lends such clarity to the concept that we say in many places that a person should be doing tshuva every single day. Don't wait till the day before you die. Do tshuva immediately. Why? Because every time you do tshuva, not only do you resolve to change yourself and improve yourself, but you actually upgrade the whole world, because you bring into the realm of holiness and Kedusha anything you might have done wrong, all the things that are the cause of you deciding now to do tshuva, all now join you in your march back towards the arena of Kedusha and holiness. This is 101.9 Chai FM. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Voeschan and Tov Shin Pei Dal. We are talking about tzedakah. And our tzedakah is going to be the opening, is going to be the petach for us to bring Mashiach for Shoveh B'tzedakah. So we're talking about how tzedakah works, and we're going to get to it in a moment. There's a beautiful, we were talking now about the obligation for a person to do tshuva, so that all of his past actions can be recaptured, redeemed, and brought into the side of Kedusha. And there's a beautiful, beautiful sort of a depiction of this in the Sefer Kavanas Halev, written by Hillel Lichtenstein. And he brings as follows. He says, when I think about a memory of my father, he says, my father, who was my Rebbe also, Moino Rav Boruch Bandit Zatzal, who was the Av Bezdin of Krasna. And he says every 2 or 3 months in Surah Shlishis, he would say over something in the name of person who he was from, which was his Rebbe, which is Amarino Rav, Rabbi Yeshua Rakech, the bells of Rav, the Yeshua. And he actually was zeichet to be together with the bells of Rav. He says 18 times he was there. And one time he was there over Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Bechukosai, and they were all sitting together at Shalashudas, a large, large group of Talmid Chachamim, very choshev people, many, many of the Rabbonim from Galatia and Hungary, and even the great Goyin and Tzaddik, Moshe Greenwald, who was the Av Bezdin of Chust, he was also there. And they were all sitting together on the table. It was even before the Belz Rebbe had arrived. Suddenly, all of them felt this tremendous, tremendous urge, this tremendous feeling that they had to think and they had to do tshuva at that time. And my father said that he couldn't actually hold himself back from crying and actually shedding tears without any control. And he was so embarrassed in front of all the other people. But he saw afterwards that everyone else who was there were also crying. And they didn't know why they were crying. Suddenly, the great Belzer Rebbe arrived and sat down in his place. And he began to say words of Torah. And he said, "Im b'chukai sai telechu, if you follow my chukim." And the Medrash says, it says that David HaMelech says, "Chishavti drachai, I planned my steps, I planned what I was going to do. V'ashiva raglai al edusecha, and my feet brought me back to your mitzvahs." And the Belzer Rebbe said, "Rabbonim, those who learn Torah, Avreichim, Talmid Chachamim, right? We learn Gemara, we learn Tosfos, we learn Shulchan Aruch, and then Baruch Hashem, we're zeichet to say sometimes Chidushim, Chidushei Torah, and we're able to answer sometimes even questions of the Rambam, etc." And then he paused for a moment, and he said, "But what's going to be with the Ber Hativ?" You know, it's and he repeated this several times. "What's going to be with the Ber Hativ? What's going to be with the Ber Hativ?" And he said it with tremendous emotion and a tremendous arousal. And then he went and he explained what he meant. And he said over what we quoted above, what it says in the Ber Hativ, in Hilchos Tainis, that everything that a person did while he was a Rosh and all the Torah that he learned, so Bavon Aseinu Rabim gives koyach to the external forces until he does tshuva. And he gave us, says a lot of Musa about how we have, unfortunately, not perfected our midas, and that the source of all sins, particularly the sins we've done when we were younger, that we may have even forgotten about, that we're not aware of. And he said as follows. He explained that a person who never has developed a certain pattern of doing averis, and that's called, in Hebrew, it's called a derech, it's called a way, it's called a route. As the Pasuk says, the derech gever be'alma, and that's the way, it's the way of a man to do these things. And he says, that's the way to understand what David HaMelech said. Chishavti drachai, I thought about my ways, that first I've got to think about my own personal behavior. And I got to make what's called a cheshbon hanefesh. I got to think about everything that I'm doing. What is good, what is bad, what is needs perhaps some kind of a rectification. And then, especially, those things that are a derech, where there's certain patterns and certain kind of types of behaviors in my life that I'm doing that are not positive, that are in fact maybe even leading to chet or chet themselves. And v'ashiva, and then I have to do tshuva. Once I've thought about those things, I have to do tshuva, and only then, and then raglai l'edusecha, then I can learn Torah. To learn Torah before one's done tshuva is not aiding anyone or anything except the koiches of ra. And he finished. He stopped talking. And everyone started crying, tremendously aroused. And they all felt that why they had this sudden feeling of tshuva even before the Rebbe came to the table. Because that was the fact that the Rebbe had thought about these holy words he was going to say. And they had an effect even before he said them. And those who were close to him felt this. And that's what my father told me. And maybe you can try to explain. Why is it that the, called the Yetzirah, called the Sitra Achra, whatever, the forces of impurity, why do they have the right to take, to steal, kidnap the mitzvahs of good people, okay? What gives them the right to kidnap our mitzvahs? Because we have a rule that we use in halacha, that Moshe Kona Eved Kona Rabbi, the Gemara in Kedushin says that if a person owns and acquires a slave, non-Jewish slave, so the slave becomes the possession of the owner, and therefore whatever the slave possesses actually belongs to the owner. So therefore, if a person unfortunately slips up and performs an Avera, so now we've almost become like slaves to the Yetzirah. And therefore, when afterwards we try to fulfill mitzvahs, so those mitzvahs actually belong to our Rebbe, to our master, which is the Yetzirah. So therefore, what is the solution? And what advice can we give to be saved from this, that a yid who works hard, who puts in so much effort into his mitzvahs, he's going to shul every morning, he's sitting and learning, he's doing chesed, he's looking after his family, he's doing so many mitzvahs, and he's learning so much Torah. What can he do to make sure that all that he's doing is not sort of being just thrown away, you know, good water after bad, down the drain. It's not doing anything accomplishing at all. How can we change that? How can we organize that? We're not going to lose all of our merits. Says the Chidah. The Chidah reveals to us in the Sefer Rosh David that he's writing over there, he's trying to explain the words of the Psikta. The Pasuk says in Parshas Nosai, Yivorechcha Hashem, Hashem will bench you, v'yishmerecha, and he'll protect you. And the Psikta says, Yivorechcha Hashem, Hashem will bless you, b'tztaka, with tztaka, v'yishmerecha, and he'll guard you and protect you, that he'll write down all of your merits. And it seems like a completely cryptic statement. What does he mean? And he explains it. That although everything you've been saying till now is true, and that often our mitzvahs can be kidnapped and hijacked by the forces of evil and almost used against us. However, says the Chidah, there is one mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is so great, and the merit of it is so amazing that on this mitzvah, listen to this, all the forces of evil have absolutely no ability to get any control over that mitzvah. And even more than that, says, even if a person fulfills another mitzvah and at the same time, or in the same sort of a series of events, he also gives tzedakah before he fulfills the mitzvah. So that is also a protection and a guarding on the mitzvah that he's about to do. And based on what Chazal say in the Medrash, Gedoyla Matna Sanyim, so great is the mitzvah of giving charity, of helping the poor people, Shemafeches midas hadin l'midas harachmim. It changes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to sometimes treat us with strict justice, and it transforms that into midas harachmim, Hashem's attribute of divine mercy. In other words, through the tzedakah, all those external forces of impurity are kept far, far away from the person, and they don't have the ability at all to touch or to take control of his mitzvahs. And This is a very sort of works very, very, very well with another concept we've learned, that even though that the mitzvah of tzedakah is so great, that with all other mitzvahs, it's possible that an aveira that a person might do subsequently could cancel out a mitzvah that he's done. The Gemara discusses in Saita. But there is such a concept of aveira mechabe mitzvah, that a negative deed can cancel out a positive deed, right? And if one does the one of those kind of averas that extinguishes a mitzvah like a candle. However, no avera has the ability to extinguish the mitzvah of tzedakah. In the same way as no avera can totally extinguish Torah, we learned, also cannot anyway disturb the mitzvah of tzedakah, as it says, "V'tzidkosai oimedes lo'ad." Tzedakah is absolutely eternal, says the Chida, because through the mitzvah of tzedakah, a person can protect all the mitzvahs that the Sitra Achra should not have any ability to touch them or impugn them at all, and they can't take it away from him, because when a person fulfills any other mitzvah, and a good deed, so he says that actually leaves an impression on the forehead of a person, and when a person, God forbid, does an avera, so that good mark is sort of removed from a person, but not by tzedakah. That good mark always remains on a person's forehead for eternity. Even if, God forbid, he doesn't always act properly, the tzedakah is still there and working and getting dividends for him. And this is actually alluded to in the pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, "Bitzedakah tikainani," with tzedakah you'll establish me. "Racha ki me'oshik," say far, far away from any kind of a extortion. "Ki lai siroi," because that would be a lack of fear of Hashem. In other words, what does it mean, "Bitzedakah tikainani," establish me with tzedakah? The Navi is telling the Jewish nation that which is unfortunately suffering so much in the gullus through the averus that they've done. But he says, you should know and you should see that through the mitzvah of tzedakah, you will build and you will establish. And if you're going to say, what purpose is tzedakah? After all, you know, we are so upset about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and how the Satan has been given the right to grab everything from us. And that's why it says, "Racha ki me'yoshik," stay away from any kind of extortion, "ki lo'i siroi." It means that in the midst of tzedakah, even if, God forbid, they've made all kinds of decrees that have been made against us, tzedakah has the ability to turn it all around, to turn even God's strict midah of justice into the midah of rachamim. And even though there's a time where God sometimes gets angry at us, still, tzedakah will continue to protect him, and no one's going to be able to touch his mitzvahs. Right? And he has nothing to be, if a person is giving tzedakah, has absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Because all the mazikim, all the injurious forces in the world, have no ability to grab his mitzvahs at all. And with this, the Chida explains the pasuk, "Yivarecha Hashem." Hashem will bless you with tzedakah. In other words, that when a person does kindness and does tzedakah with his money, and through that, the Yishmerecha, Hashem will protect us, will guard us. He's going to write down, says, he's going to write down all of our merits. That all of your merits and all of your mitzvahs are going to be written and inscribed under your name, and nothing can ever happen to take that away. Nothing can ever happen to remove those from the file. And with this, we can understand a Rashi. There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin. The Gemara brings a story. There was a tax collector, a Yid, a Rasha, who died. And on the same day, a very, very great tzaddik died in the city. And all the people came, and they were busy with the liar, with the funeral of the tzaddik. And the relatives of that poor tax collector, right, they also took their fathers and family members' coffin, you know, out to the cemetery. And while they were on the way, their enemies attacked them, and they put down the two coffins and they ran away. And there was one Talmud, one student of this great tzaddik, who sat with the coffin of his Rebbe. And after a while, all the great people of the city came back to finish the job and to bury the great Chacham. And they, by mistake, they swapped the coffins, and they picked up the coffin of the tax collector. And that town, that student was screaming, "No, it's the wrong one, it's the wrong one." And it didn't help. And the relatives of this evil tax collector, they actually buried the Chacham. And this Talmud was so upset about it. What sin could have caused that this great tzaddik had the ignobility of being buried with such shame, with such a lack of honor? And how did that Rasha merit that he should be buried with such honor by all the great people of the city? And his Rebbe appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Don't be upset. Let me show you that my tremendous honor I have in Gan Eden. I'm getting such big honor. And let me show you this, that person, that tax collector, he's in Gehenim and Nebuch. He's suffering in a terrible, terrible way. But what happened was, one time I heard that someone was talking negatively about a Talmud Chacham, and I didn't protest. And this wicked tax collector one time prepared a banquet for the leaders of the city who is trying to sort of be friendly to, and they never pitched. And he took all of that food, all that amazing stuff, and he divided it and gave it to Aniyim. And therefore, he merited to be buried with such honor. Shaveh b'tzedakah. Let's use tzedakah as a way of helping ourselves to do tshuva, and Be'ezer Hashem precipitate the process that's going to bring the ultimate banishment of all those forces of evil, all those external forces, and be able to channel everything that we do into the realm of Kedusha, and ultimately, Be'ezer Hashem, to the base of Mikdash and the Kodesh Kedushim. This is 101.9 Chai FM. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos slot.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Bo Eschanan, Shabbos Nachamu, Tov Shin Pei Dalet. A warm welcome to those of you who are joining us just now. It's so great to have you aboard. I hope Tisha B'Av was as an amazing and inspiring day for you as it possibly could have been. As we always do at this time, let's just tell you the important times you need to know for this coming Shabbos. So this afternoon, the earliest time for benching licht is going to be at 4:38. 4:38 is the earliest time to start Shabbos. And again, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to, if we can, to add those extra minutes of Kedusha onto our life, to sort of take a little bit of time of Friday and actually sanctify it and raise it to make it part of our Shabbos. Hashem gives us this opportunity to show our excitement, anticipation, and longing for Shabbos by allowing us to accept it even before it gets dark, to get some extra time of Kedusha, of Menucha, of being able to absorb the tremendous avir, the tremendous atmosphere of Shabbos. So 4:38, approximately 2 hours from now, is the time where we can really already begin our Shabbos Kodesh. And of course, if you can't make that time, then okay, 10 minutes later than that, 20 minutes later than that, it's also the latest time for benching licht this coming Shabbos is 5:31. 5:31 is the latest time, so if you can do 5:21 or 5 o'clock, whatever it might be, it's wonderful. It's taking the opportunity, showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much we love his Shabbos, how much we anticipate, how much we really want to embrace the Shabbos. And of course, if you can't manage early, then certainly by 5:31, absolutely make sure that everything is done. That is, as we always stress, the actual beginning time for Shabbos, not a moment later. We have to consider as if that time is the actual deadline. That's when everything in the house has to be organized, the phones have to be away, the house should be set up, the food's all in the place where it needs to be. We're out of the shower and dressed, and hopefully already in shul, so we can daven mincha. Most shuls begin mincha at the time of the candle lighting. That's when we should be in shul. And no, the 18 minutes after 5:31 are only there, as we always say, for an emergency situation. They're not to be regarded as extra time. We have plenty of time all the way until shkia, which is at 5:49. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to regard 5:31 as our absolute deadline. Rachman al Salat, there's an emergency, then we have that extra time. But really, this is our evidence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we consider every moment of the Shabbos so sacrosanct, so holy, so beautiful, we wouldn't want to be missing even one moment of the Shabbos. So if you want to make sure that you are davening Ma'ariv or at properly night, so you have to wait until 7 minutes past six. 7 minutes past six is already nighttime, which of course, if you're in shul, virtually all the shuls will be davening Ma'ariv later than that time, so that you can then fulfill when you say the Krishma. Have in mind that I want to fulfill the Torah mitzvah every day of B'shochpach of Kumecha, reciting the Krishma every night as behooves, as required by Halacha for us to do. And of course, after shul, we come home and we have the wonderful opportunity of joining a beautiful Shabbos meal together with our loved ones, with our family, some guests, friends, and Bez Hashem, we should make it a beautiful Shabbos Nachmu, which traditionally is one of the most beautiful, most uplifting Shabbosos of the year. Baruch Hashem, we've gotten through Tisha B'Av, and yes, Mashiach hasn't come, but now begin these 7 weeks, the 7 weeks of Nechama, 7 weeks of special comfort, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us, leading us all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. In fact, 7 weeks from today is really the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's not much time. It goes so quickly. In fact, tomorrow morning, of course, is Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Va'eschanan. Beautiful Parsha, so much. Again, the Aseres Adibis we have in this week's Parsha. Again, the first Parsha of Shema Yisrael, and so much else, so much a dramatic and important conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu tells to Klai Yisrael. And of course, the Haftarah is the first of the seven special Haftarahs of comfort. Of course, the Shabbos that gives the Shabbos its name, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami Yomar Elokechem. Be comforted, my nation, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's time for us to seek comfort, to seek solace, to seek a commitment to grow and to help ourselves, to put ourselves where we want to be and need to be, getting ready for Yom HaDin, for Rosh Hashanah. The Shabbos carries on. It's a regular Shabbos. This week, of course, Pirkei Avos. We're going to be learning Perek Dalet, the fourth Perek of Pirkei Avos. Again, take the time. Open a sefer, open some commentaries, learn it properly, learn, not just read it to see how fast whether you can finish it in less than two minutes. Learn it, understand it, learn the Musa. It's beautiful, beautiful, important Musa that our Tanoim give us in these words of Pirkei Avos. We should certainly chaperon and avail ourselves of the opportunity to learn and be inspired by what they have to say. Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night at 6:21. 6:21 is unfortunately the end of Shabbos, and we go into another beautiful, beautiful week. Of course, Monday will be the famous holiday of Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, which is as such traditionally has always been a day of tremendous celebration for the Jews for various reasons. Certainly, the shul goers will celebrate because it's a Monday and we won't say Tachanun. For some people, that already is already a Yom Tov, but it's much, much more to the day, of course, than just that. We are in Ayelcha Shabbos slot. We are in the laws of taking care of clothing. We are particularly involved at the moment in the laws of tying knots. We've gone through a lot of the introduction, a lot of the basics. So it comes out that some of the poskim maintain that a single knot with a bow on top of it, which is again how most people tie their shoes, so that retains the status of a single knot, and accordingly, it is not considered a knot at all. And may be tied without any sort of worries at all. Others are stricter and maintain that since the two knots together are stronger than one, it should be considered a regular sort of a layman's knot. And accordingly, one may tie it if one intends that it lasts for less than a week, which of course for one's shoes certainly would be the norm. However, if it is meant to last for a week or more, so then according to this stricter opinion, one may not tie it at all. Now it's appropriate for us to follow this stricter. This stricter position, right? L'chatchila, certainly. However, one may tie, let's say, one's gartel, for those who wear a tartel or a gartel around a sefer Torah, using a single knot with a bow on top of it, even if it is intended to remain that way for many, many months, which, of course, you know, in small shuls, they have one or two sefer Torahs. So of course, you certainly don't have to worry because they will use it again maximum on Monday morning for laning. But if you have, let's say, a rotation where sefer Torah might be used one Shabbos and then go to the back of the queue and not get used again for a while, that could be a problem in this particular situation. Okay, we'll come back in a moment with some closing comments after the break. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Voschanon Shabbos. Nachmu Tov Shin Pei Dalet 5784. As we unfortunately come to the end of our program and also the end of our discussion on tying knots. So a single knot followed by a bow followed by a single knot which people use when they want to tie their shoes more tightly, is considered a regular knot. And therefore, if it's meant to last less than a week, one may do so. If it is meant for a week or more, one may not do so. Now, some are also machmir about this, and quite meticulous, and completely avoid tying such knots on Shabbos. And again, it's recommended to follow this stricter opinion, and just when you're tying your shoes, just do a single knot and a bow, and not do a knot on top of that. If one ties and unties, let's say his tie, each time he wears it during the week, he may tie it on Shabbos as well. If one ties his necktie and leaves the knot intact for an extended period of time, he may not tie it on Shabbos, because it's going to be, he's tying a knot which is going to be left for a long time. In a case of great necessity, he may be lenient and tie it on Shabbos as long as he intends to undo the knot on Moitzei Shabbos. Then he'll be allowed to do it. So that really is a kind of a discussion we had about knots. Beit Hashem, next week we're going to carry on with some of the other halacha still involving the clothing on Shabbos. And really that's going to be the end of our program today. Again, I just want to give everyone a bracha, all those who mamash are azreicha to be part of our family, to listen to the show, all those who are not listening to the show, that taka, Be'ez Hashem, we should be zreicha in this month of Av, after Tishbav, to a true nechamat. We should see all of our own personal tzaras, all the tzaras of our family, of our community, of our city, of our country, of Klal Yisrael, wherever they might be, mitigated and disappear into the air like mamash, like a cloud. And Be'ez Hashem, with our efforts and our dedication to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we should be zeichet to taka see all the bracha and all the atzlacha that we could possibly want in every area of our lives. I want to thank all of our radio family for joining us this week, however much time you managed to be here. It's so appreciated. Without an audience, there wouldn't be a show at all. And just to wish each and every one of you a beautiful geschmack and a unified Shabbos Shalom for you and the entire family and all of Klai Yisrael. To each and every one of you, a good Shabbos.